Everyone, this is Gary Spackman. I'm the director of the Idaho Department of Water Resources. This is the time and place scheduled for a pre-hearing conference regarding a hearing that's has been calendared for June 6th through 10th, 2023. The hearing was scheduled on my initiative. And the purpose of the hearing is to present and receive evidence regarding two orders I issued on April 21st, 2023. And I will just refer to these. Well, let me give the titles. One is what we refer to as a methodology order, or maybe in a longer version, the Fifth Amended Methodology Order. But its full title is Fifth Amended Final Order Regarding Methodology for Determining Material Injury to Reasonable In-Season Demand and Reasonable Carryover. And the other order that was issued was what we refer to as an As-Applied Order, and the title of that particular document is Final Order Regarding April 2023 Forecast Supply, parentheses, Methodology Steps 1 through 3, closed paren. And so I think the first thing I need to do is probably call roll and determine who's participating today and who is not. And so let's start calling roll here. And I'll just, Eric? Oh.
Just confirming that we're recording.
Oh, okay. Good. I thought when the microphones came on, Sarah, we were good. Thank you. Okay, so again, my name is Gary Spackman, and we'll go in a clockwise direction around the table here at the state offices of the Idaho Department of Water Resources, and then there are some folks sitting on the perimeter. We'll have them introduce themselves. And then I assume there's a large number of people, and I'll at least operate off of the screen rather than have people speak up voluntarily, and then we'll see if we've left anybody off. So to my left, Garrick.
Garrick Baxter, attorney for the department.
Good afternoon. John Simpson, attorney for the Surface Water Coalition.
Travis Thompson, Surface Water Coalition.
Sarah Scholl, paralegal for the department.
Then in along the perimeter.
Pete Wood, attorney for the department.
Matt Weaver, Department of Water Resources.
Kara Ferguson, Department of Water Resources.
Matt Anders, IDWR.
Okay, and that completes the roll call for the folks who are here and present physically. Now I'll just look at the screen. So I have, I think, starting, Alicia, are you there?
Yes, I am, Director.
Thank you. And if you'll just sound off, and even though we probably know, say who you are representing.
Yes, of course. This is Alicia Patterson on behalf of ICWA.
Thank you. TJ?
Good afternoon, Director. This is TJ Budge on behalf of ICWA.
Dylan?
This is Dylan Anderson on behalf of Bingham Groundwater District. Good afternoon.
Rob?
Good afternoon, Director. Rob Harris on behalf of the City of Idaho Falls.
Thank you. Skyler?
Good afternoon, Director. Skyler Johns. I represent Bonneville Jefferson Groundwater District.
Thank you. Chris Bromley?
Good afternoon, Director. Chris Bromley on behalf of the Coalition of Cities.
And then is it possible, Sarah, can you advance so I see who else is on? Or is that possible?
I can bring my laptop to you because I can't advance that screen.
Huh. Okay, thank you. All right. Well, let me see if I can first pick off the attorneys. Sarah, are you there?
Good afternoon, Director. Sarah Klein for the City of Pocatello.
Is this the total that I have participating, you think?
It's easier if you look over here.
Okay, Kent Fletcher, are you there?
That's it. I'm here, Director, representing Minidoka Irrigation District and American Falls Reservoir District number 2.
All right, thank you. And, well, I hope I haven't missed anybody. Is Candace McHugh on? I don't see her. Chris, do you know anything about Candace and her participation today?
Director, yes, she is participating. If she's not on, I'm not sure why that is, but Candace McHugh is going to participate today on behalf of Coalition of Cities and also McCain Foods.
Well, Candace, if you're out there, sound off. Otherwise, we'll move forward.
I do have a text from her saying she's trying to get in.
Now I see she is. Yeah. Yep. Candace, are you there?
I am. Sorry. I have a tough time sometimes with the audio, and so then I was going to call in, but I am here now and can hear everybody.
Great. Thank you for participating. Okay. Now, have I missed any of the attorneys? All right, so let's go through the remainder of the folks who are listening in, just for the record. Alan Jackson.
Yeah, Alan Jackson, thank you. I'm the manager of the Bingham Groundwater District.
Thank you. Don Terry. Don, are you there? Are you muted? Well, this may not be as critical. Hello? Don?
I'm
well,
muted.
This may not be. Go ahead.
I'm muted. Sorry.
Thank you. Jay Barlogi.
Good afternoon, Director. Jay Barlogi with the Twin Falls Canal Company.
Thank you. Paul Arrington.
Good afternoon, Director. Paul Arrington, Idaho Water Users, just observing.
Thank you. Dave Colvin.
Hello, Director. Dave Colvin on behalf of Surface Water Coalition.
Thank you, Dave. Now, have I missed anybody? I did. Okay. Yep. Okay, I hope we've now called roll and everybody is registered as participants. All right. Well, my purpose today is to talk about schedule and issues, establish times for preparation. I expect, at least referring back to a previous pre-hearing conference that I held, I expect this discussion today may have the semblance of a rodeo. So let's rope. So the first thing I guess I would expect some discussion about is the date set for hearing. And I know I have at least one document in that was filed with the department within the last couple of hours that requests significant delay, continuance in this hearing. And I am willing to entertain some suggestions for change within a narrow window. But I also have some obligations in terms of the administration of water rights during this upcoming season. Now, I did hear that maybe there were some background discussions, and perhaps there might be some agreement between those of opposing or opposite positions. Does anybody want to offer something up in this regard?
Director, this is TJ. I guess I can comment.
Okay.
Yeah, there was some discussion about continuing the hearing by stipulation, but no stipulation has been reached.
in that regard. So we just have pending the city's motion for continuance. I have reviewed that, and IGWA would join in that motion.
Okay. Any other suggestions? And then I'll talk through at least what I think are the requirements of what I need to do.
Director, this is Candace McHugh on behalf of McCain Foods, and we also would join in the motion here today to continue the hearing. And we did file a request for hearing just to cover our bases and kind of an objection to having that implemented this summer, but wanted to just make that for the record.
Okay, thanks.
Director, this is Skylar Johns on behalf of Bonneville Jefferson Groundwater District. And as a member of IGWA, we too will join in the motion to continue. We believe that more time is required to prepare for this hearing.
All right. Thanks, Skylar.
Director, this is TJ again. I would like to make a brief argument in support of that motion, but I figured I'd let the cities make any argument they wish to make before I offer my comments.
Director, this is Chris Bromley on behalf of Coalition of Cities. I was waiting to hear if you were wanting argument on the motion. I can provide brief argument, as could Mr. Harris or Ms. Klon or Ms. McHugh, however you'd like to have it.
Well, I've at least skimmed the motion that was filed and that some of you have joined in. So I know at least some of the arguments. So when TJ Budge offered to argue briefly, I want to set some reasonable time limit. And I think a reasonable time limit is 1 minute apiece. So if you want to argue, you got 1 minute apiece. So go ahead.
I'll be very brief. Point one is unavailability of counsel and expert witness. Point two is to your point, which is about administration of water rights. You have every ability to administer water rights. This is not like Basin 37 2 years ago, where you did not have the ability because you had no finding of material injury. Here you do. You have multiple iterations of methodology order that allow you to administer water rights. So, you know, point one, unavailability. Point two, you can and you will administer water rights moving forward. And that goes directly to the request for appointment of an independent hearing officer. That's exactly how Director Tuthill did it in the past. He appointed former Chief Justice Schroeder to be the hearing officer while retaining all authority to administer water rights. Thank you.
TJ?
Thank you. I would concur with Mr. Bromley's statements and just note that we're not anticipating that the department would not undertake administration while we prepare for a hearing. What I would like to use my time to do is just to quote three court cases that are really relevant to this analysis. There's the one that the city's quote in their brief and that the department is familiar with. That's the AFRD2 case, is often called. And in that case, the Supreme Court said that when it comes to conjunctive management, quote, it is vastly more important that the director have the necessary pertinent information and the time to make a reasoned decision based on available facts, end quote. And then two other decisions. One is a Idaho Court of Appeals decision, State v. Doe 147, Idaho 542. It's a 2009 decision. And in that case, I'll just quote a few excerpts related to this topic. The Supreme Court explained that meaningful notice consists of both substantive and temporal components. And it went on to say the notice must be provided at a time which allows the person to be reasonably prepared to address the issue. And then the last case that I'll quote, it's Vannelli v. Reynolds School District. It's a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals case. And it said in that decision, the court said the key component of due process when a decision maker is acquainted with the facts is the assurance of a central fairness at the hearing. At a minimum, one must be given a notice and an opportunity to be heard at a meaningful time and in a meaningful manner. An individual must have an opportunity to confront all the evidence adduced against him, in particular, that evidence with which the decision maker is familiar. And in closing, I'll just say that I've spoken with my consultants and we've reviewed the information we need and the discovery process that will be required to obtain it and the time required to analyze it. And it's impossible for us to be prepared for a hearing on June 6th. We expect this to take several months, and we understand the department would be administering water rights in the meantime. Thank you.
All right. Any other statements?
This is Candace, and I just guess I wanted to clarify. I agree with what Chris and TJ have said, but wanted to clarify that I believe the idea would be that administration of the water rights this season, at least from my perspective, would be under the tested methodology order that we've already been gone under, and that the amended methodology order that we're currently requesting a hearing on, that not be implemented this season. And if that is not what Mr. Bromley or Mr. Budge meant by that you would be administering, that's what I would be stating in addition to what they've said, is that you have a methodology that you can implement to address injury that has already gone to hearing. And so staying this particular one until after a meaningful time for a hearing on the revised amended or the amended order for this season, I think is reasonable.
Okay, other statements?
Director, this is Skylar Johns. I would just echo concurrence with the concerns about trying to get all the evidence, synthesize it. I've spoken with Bonneville Jefferson's technical experts. It's going to take them time to collect, synthesize that data. And also Bonneville Jefferson would like an opportunity in concert with some of the other parties to file some memorandum so that we can make sure that all the issues are presented to the director, supported by evidence. And that's just going to take some more time. So I join in concurrence with the motion, continue on that reason.
Thank you, Skylar. Any other statements? Okay, well, let me respond. And I guess the first thing that I'll say, so I'll draw a conclusion and then tell you why. I intend to hold a hearing for this matter in the first 3 weeks of June 2023. And this particular methodology order, so if within that period of time, the parties can find dates that are acceptable to them for a hearing, I'm willing to consider it, but that's the narrow window of time that I'm willing to work within. Now, let me go back to the arguments that were presented regarding preparation and familiarity with the information that's contained in the fifth methodology order. The Department of Water Resources notified all of the parties last fall that we would be reviewing the information and presenting that. All of the parties, expert witnesses, were invited to attend, and there were multiple presentations of that evidence and also some conclusions drawn by technical staff about what information would be reviewed in the methodology order. There were also statements along the way, and I made them personally, that I intended to issue and amend the methodology order. And so all of that information has been presented and the data to the parties previously. And the argument that there needs to be significant additional time for preparation, I think, well, for me, falls on unsympathetic ears. And I have a responsibility to administer water rights and to ensure that the senior water right holders are made whole. And I intend to do that. I also have an obligation based on the court's orders to not only predict what the water supply will be, but to issue an order or to review that information mid-season. as well as at the time of need to determine whether the seniors are receiving the water that they're entitled to. So I intend to hold a hearing the first 3 weeks of June, if you can agree on a time. I have some flexibility during that period of time. But by the fourth week of June, I want to have completed the hearing itself and have time to issue a decision. And if the parties disagree with that timing, if they think that I'm not affording them due process, then I think there is an alternative route if the parties want to go there to seek a stay from the courts and establish in front of the court that I'm not affording the parties due process. All right.
Mr. Director?
Yeah.
If I might.
Well, Travis Thompson, then I'll come back to you, TJ. Travis?
Thank you, Director. We've spoken with our clients, and we are prepared to go forward with the hearing as scheduled. I think it does provide over 6 weeks since the notice, which is not uncommon, what we've seen in the past in proceedings like this. I've looked through the city's motion. I don't see, I mean, there is a statement that Ms. McHugh may be unavailable, but, I mean, things can change. I see Greg Sullivan is out of town for a certain length of time, but is not out of town June 6th through the 10th. So I guess the idea that nobody's available that week, I'm not seeing that other than maybe for Ms. McHugh. But, and I guess our clients are concerned that we do get timely administration. One issue that may be new is groundwater users who are not covered by a mitigation plan. And that could be a significant number that's different in the past. And so to have a due process hearing before any potential curtailment, if that's necessary, we think the sooner we have that, the better, given the timing of the irrigation season. We can't wait until the fall. That's happened in the past. So we think it's appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. TJ?
Yeah, thank you, Director. I appreciate the offer of some flexibility. I guess we've heard the coalition's position on that. I just want to maybe illustrate my concern with what will happen at the hearing. And I appreciate that the department staff did share information with the consultants. But thinking back, the department staff began their analysis of the methodology order, or at least were directed to begin on August 5th. And they spent approximately 3 months reviewing that data. And then over the next month, they had around six meetings that were multi-hour meetings with the consultants going through it. So it's very dense data. There's a lot of technical stuff at issue. And then after that process, it was another 4 months for the department to actually issue the new methodology. And we don't know what went into that. And it's just a really heavy lift. So I'm afraid what'll happen is we'll get to June 6th and we'll put on what we can, but a lot of what the evidence will be what we would have liked to examine had we had time to do that. And we can go to Judge Wildman, and go through that gyration. But I just don't see the sense of urgency where we're not in a drought this year. IGWA has secured storage water to meet the full obligation of material injury and more. And so I don't see the same exigency that existed in the Wood River case. And from our standpoint, it's much more important that we have a proper hearing where we've thoroughly vetted all of the evidence and had an adequate opportunity to explore it than it is to have a rushed hearing to try to, delay administration. So I just wanted to give you some additional things to consider.
Well, TJ, if there is an alternative path out there and IGWA or the groundwater districts or water users as a whole whose priority dates are junior to the senior water right holders are either complying with a mitigation plan or have arranged somehow with the senior water right holders to satisfy the obligation, I'm willing to listen to some reasonable request for delay. But at least right now, I'm unaware of any compliance. In fact, at least factually, I just issued an order last Monday that determined finally after a hearing that the groundwater users had breached the 2015 agreement. And there's at least some preliminary evidence that, that there may be a deficiency in 2022. So I'm not aware of any of the compliance with mitigation plans. And, you know, without that compliance, Judge Wildman's instructions to me have been in very direct terms. Director, your job is to curtail if there's noncompliance. So, I understand your arguments, but I have little sympathy for them at this point in time. So discuss with the senior representatives of the senior water right holders if you want regarding the matters that you've raised, but I intend to move forward. And I guess I could present facts about the time period within which the facts that you're talking about and the preparation and presentation to the department took a period of time, but there's also been a period of time of 4 months, I think, since the last presentation by department staff to the technical working group, and within which the experts and the parties anticipating the issuance of methodology order certainly could have been preparing for the inevitable. All right, let's move on and let's talk about the preparation. So I think we need to have some statement of issues so that we can narrow the focus of the hearing. And I don't expect that statement to come in today verbally. We could talk about it, but I'm asking and will require that there be some submittal of the statement of issues to be presented at the hearing a week from today. All right, let's talk about deadlines for preparation. We have already authorized discovery, so I don't need to issue an order related to discovery, and the parties can engage in discovery in any form they want to, except I'll tell you, I look with disfavor on requests for admissions. I think they're just a trap out there that's a waste of time. So I would ask that you not engage in those, and I suspect depositions are probably the best way to gather evidence or information if you want. Hello?
Director, this is Chris Bromley, and I hope you recognize that the civil rules provide 30 days for written responses to discovery. We mentioned that in our motion. The truncated schedule that you set out simply does not provide to have answers more than a week before the hearing. I just hope you understand that.
If that's a concern, Mr. Bromley, then I will dispense with interrogatories as part of the discovery process. And I have that authority, I think, under our rules of procedure. So we're not required to adhere strictly to the civil rules of procedure, as I understand it. Okay. And I don't know what, honestly, in preparation for this, that interrogatories would do for the parties anyway. All right, I want to disclose the witnesses that the department will present and will offer up both for deposition or informal questions as the parties wish, and certainly will be subject to examination. And the two individuals that I'd offer up are Jennifer Succo, who many of you know is the department's premier groundwater modeler, and also Matt Anders, who presented information to the technical working group and was instrumental in the background in the technical analysis. And so those two individuals will be department witnesses. We intend to question, or those two witnesses will be questioned at the hearing and as a preliminary matter to work through the documents themselves and also talk about the information, and will be subject to examination. We don't intend as a department to, and I don't intend to ask staff to prepare a staff memorandum. So we won't have those memorandums as sometimes in hearings, the hearing officers requested of staff. And part of the reason for the non-preparation is the presentation of that that information and evidence over the last 8 or 9 months. It should be available to the parties anyway, and the order itself, particularly the methodology order, as represented earlier, is a dense document containing a lot of that information already. Mr. Simpson.
Mr. Director, with respect to the methodology, and I did participate along with others during that process with your staff, is there any other information beyond what's contained in the order that might be made available to the parties? I guess it has all that information either. I know the presentations were made available back at that time by Jennifer and by Matt and others. Is there any other information that maybe we don't have readily available to us that could be made available on a website or otherwise?
Director?
Yeah, Gary.
This is Garrick Baxter for the department. I might suggest that we set a deadline for IDWR to identify any additional information that might be helpful. We just think that might be a good pathway forward on this particular issue.
And a suggested date, a week?
Yeah, we can do it in a week.
So same time issues are identified, next Friday the department has a deadline. Now, I anticipate we talked about this subject previously. I think there may be some background data, although there is. And maybe where that data is located or in what form, all of that may be helpful if it's not already available. Garrick?
Director, actually, I think the statement of issues might affect what information, additional information we might need to be able to provide. So if that request comes, if the statement of issues deadline is a week from today, that's I think what you said, could we have until Wednesday of the following week, so a few more additional days to review that statement of issues, prepare and identify documents, and then get that to the parties?
Well, let's do it this way. Let's post what we can and what we know by Friday.
Okay.
And then if we need to augment based on the issues that are identified, we'll augment by Wednesday if that's okay.
Sounds good.
Mr. Director, this is Sarah Klein. May I ask a question?
Sure.
One of the primary concerns about the fifth methodology order is the shift to transient modeling rather than steady state. And I participated in those technical working groups as an observer, and I don't recall any discussion of the transient modeling approach. So, I mean, I suppose I could be incorrect about that. I wonder if somebody could confirm for me that the transient modeling issues were discussed as part of the technical work group.
Jennifer Succo is not here, but Matt Anders is, but maybe John Simpson wanted to.
Mr. Director, I know Jennifer had a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation that she provided sometime early December, late November on that issue, and describe the differences between steady state modeling and transient modeling. So that was part of the presentation that she provided.
You want to affirm, Matt?
Yes, Mr. Director. She did give a presentation, and we can make that available again.
Well, we need to have all of those presentations in some form out there. So
we can make them available.
That should be part of what's presented on Friday. And
Mr. Sarah, Director?
Yeah.
Just, Sarah, for your benefit, it was discussed in one of the meetings, but the staff recommendation document did not include that recommendation. And this leads to another question I've got. Some analysis and work happened after the staff recommendation. That provided information, but from there to the conclusion, the development of the methodology order, I need to know who participated in those subsequent processes to develop the new methodology. I suspect we'll want to depose them as well.
Gary?
Director, I think you have a couple different options there. The request to identify individuals to testify on behalf of the department, you've identified Matt Anders and Jennifer Succo. If somebody has questions about the process in which the department went through, they can ask questions of those two witnesses to identify who additionally participated. Do I believe that you're compelled to allow somebody to depose every IDWR employee who might have touched this at some point in time? I don't think you're compelled to do that.
No, I don't think so. Although I want to accommodate any reasonable request by the parties, I don't want to stonewall them. If there's someone that assisted Jennifer in that effort, I think I'd be happy to make them available. I think there was some quality control and secondary checks, at least I've been told, by independent staff to ensure that, the computations were correct. I don't know that the parties want to get into trying to figure out whether, something happened in the quality control. The experts ought to be able to determine whether those computations were correct or not. But to the extent there's somebody else out there, we could ask Jennifer and have her disclose who it was that participated. I think that list will be very short, one or two people maybe. If the parties want to go that far, I don't have a problem with extending the opportunity to depose those people, but I don't want to open it up to everybody in the department.
And I can clarify, I'm not concerned about the quality control aspect of it. I'm concerned or interested more in some of the policy-related decisions. When we had the meetings with Matt, some of the issues he declined to address or make a recommendation on because he reported that they were more of a policy nature. And so my interest is more in, outside of the technical input. I don't know if Matt Weaver was involved or other department folks from that standpoint, but I'm assuming that it wasn't just Matt and Jennifer that wrote the new methodology. I'm assuming the director was not involved in writing that. I could be mistaken about that, but we need to understand who participated, because I need to understand what their thinking was about some of those decisions. And so that's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, for me to extend the opportunity for discovery to those people within a circle that are writing the document itself, TJ, I wrote the document, I signed it. And I don't work in a vacuum. I have staff that assist me. And I'm not making myself and other staff in those discussions available unless you can articulate a reason why I should. So this is an evidentiary hearing. And the evidence should relate to the facts and the data and the process by which, and when I say process, I mean the technical analysis that led to the decision. All right.
Director.
Yeah.
This is Chris Bromley. And in the past, past practice has been to identify names of staff who participated in certain enumerated paragraphs so that we're given an opportunity to understand. I recognize you signed the document. You stated you signed the document. We can see that you signed the document, but you also mentioned that there were staff who were assisting. So past practice has been to identify staff who assisted in particular paragraphs. If we could have a list like that, that would help us in our preparation for this evidentiary hearing. Thank you.
Well, Derek.
Director, I think, you know, from the analysis of baseline year and those particular aspects of it, you've identified the person you've identified as Matt Anders to talk about the technical data, baseline year calculations associated with that, and those main particular pieces. And then the modeling and the analysis of transient versus steady state, you've identified Jennifer. And so I don't know what value there would be going through paragraph by paragraph. I think you've identified for topics, you know, who would be the most appropriate individual for them to depose, who the department is going to make available to testify as to those factual aspects of the process.
Yeah, I think I'll limit the disclosure to the people we've identified, and if there are issues that you can identify that are outside of those that the Matt Anders or Jennifer could discuss, then we'll consider enlarging the list. All right.
Mr. Director, this is Candace. I'm representing McCain and obviously the Coalition of Cities, and I understand at this point that the hearing is going to take place during a week where I am out of state, which I'm not out of state on any, you know, frivolous matter. But regardless, as an accommodation to the fact that I will be out of the state, and McCain specifically is one of those unique water users that is not found within a mitigation plan at the moment, would the director agree to allow me to participate via video? I'll have Sarah Klon and Chris Bromley and Rob Harris, who I work closely with, to be able to be in the courtroom. But there are things that, you know, would be helpful for me and Chris, since we are only a two-person shop, to be able to collaborate on and help at the hearing. And it seems reasonable given the fact that I would be the only one participating remotely, I guess, and that I can't move my out-of-state obligation at this point.
Okay, I'll consider the request given the short time period, and I anticipated that there would be conflicts. I don't want everybody participating remotely. I think the control of a hearing with this many participants is almost impossible. And I want people to be here, but I'll consider the request and we'll see if we can set it up. If I get multiple requests, I may just deny all of them. Okay, let's talk about schedule now. And one of the issues that I guess we need to talk about is the order of presentation of evidence, but that's probably premature. What kinds of additional deadlines do the parties want to establish today?
Director Travis Thompson, I think just a deadline to exchange witness and exhibit list would probably be appropriate.
Sarah?
That was going to be my suggestion as well.
Okay, so we're looking still at the 6th through the 10th, and I want to say that I hope it's the 6th through the 9th, but I couldn't extend it into the next week without conflicting with Paul Arrington's water law seminar, and I promised Paul I wouldn't do that to him. So deadline for exchange of witness lists and...
Yeah. Mr. Director, to the extent we're still potentially talking about moving the dates to sometime in the first 3 weeks of June, other than the 6th through the 10th or the 6th through the 9th, maybe the scheduling order could say that exhibit and witness lists are due 7 days before the start of the hearing. That way, if things get moved, you wouldn't have to issue a new scheduling order on this.
That acceptable?
Yes.
Everybody? 7 days ahead of time. Okay. Other matters we need to talk about. Garrett?
Director, I think in a scheduling order, it'd be wise for us to identify that the parties need to bring copies of 3 copies of any exhibit with them to the hearing. So we'll include that in any scheduling order. One other thing that was identified is discovery. I don't know if the parties are thinking of a discovery timing. Do they? Because I think the director has the authority to shorten deadlines related to discovery. And so if the parties are still concerned about that, I think here's an opportunity to shorten those timeframes if folks still want to serve discovery related to document production or other similar things. But
thank you, Garrick. I'd like to see a deadline of 10 days for requests for production. And I'd also like to set a deadline for expert reports so that we don't go in blind on what the, nobody goes in blind on what the experts are going to testify to. And I'd suggest that that should be like 5 days before the hearing. And the third thing is I'd ask when we do exchange exhibit and witness lists that we exchange exhibits like thumb drives or, you know, making the exhibits available so we can see what other folks are using.
Any objection?
All right. Just a quick note on the exhibit or I guess the expert reports. I would ask for 7 days instead of 5 because that pushes it through a weekend. I mean, assuming it's May 30th for the 7 days, that would be at least a week.
So exchange of expert reports on the same schedule as exchange of exhibits, disclosure of witnesses. That's fine with me. Okay, other matters, Garrick?
Well, just for clarification, I think Sarah had indicated a deadline of 10 days for requests for productions. Was that 10 days from today to serve requests for production or deadline of 10 days before hearing? Sarah, what was your intent there?
Oh, my intent was that if one receives a request for production, one has 10 days to comply with it. I hadn't thought about the other time frames. But I think we could say that discovery has to end by, I don't know. My concern about the 7 days for 7 days before the hearing for expert reports is to the extent there is material, if we're doing simultaneous disclosures of expert reports, I guess that just means that rebuttal will be live. Is that right?
I see some heads nodding.
Thank you.
Other clarification?
Director, given the number of parties, I think it might be helpful to designate some deposition dates today.
Well, I think what I would do if you want to work through that, TJ, if everybody's here, I don't know that I need to sit through that, but we can stay online. What do you want to do, Garrick and others?
At least for the department standpoint, because we don't have Jennifer here, we won't be able to identify her available dates, but we have Matt Anders here, so we could work with Matt on while folks are on the line after we're done.
All right. Well, if there isn't anything else related, Garrick.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go back one more time. So Sarah started talking about discovery end date, and I don't think there was a date identified. Do the parties want a discovery end date?
Well, this is Ken Fletcher. If we have to turn over exhibits and witnesses 7 days before hearing, shouldn't that be the discovery end date as well?
But you also have the 10-day deadline for people to comply with a request for production. And so if they serve it on that date and then have 10 days, we've got a problem. But
well, I think it's completed.
Okay. So somebody has to be taking that into consideration, the 10-day.
Sure. Okay.
We can do that.
Further clarification.
What right, was the result?
Director, this is Rob Harris. In some recent scheduling orders I've had from hearing officers, there's, in order to help pre-mark exhibits, there can be kind of a bracket for the numbers that should be used by the parties. At this point, I'm not sure we know who all the parties are because the deadline for filing a petition for hearing hasn't passed yet. But I'm wondering if there would be some merit in at least designating some exhibits so that they could be pre-marked for the hearing.
Director, why don't we address that in a scheduling order? We can identify pre-mark numbers and for various parties. And I think what we'll do is identify all the parties who are appearing, you know, in the contested case. And if they decide not to participate at the hearing, we just leave those numbers out. So we can go through and address that in the scheduling order.
Okay. Okay, anything further?
Did you want to talk about curtailment for this year?
Oh, thank you, and I bypassed that. I should have mentioned it to begin with. So because this hearing has been scheduled, the director does not intend to issue a curtailment order until after the hearing. Okay, anything further?
This is Candace. Can I just clarify that statement? Does that mean until after the decision, after the hearing?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Kemp Fletcher. Does that apply as well to pending 2022 breach issue or just the hearing on this matter?
Well, that's a good question, Kent, but Eric?
Director, at this point in time, I don't think you have the record made before you with regards to a 2022 breach, so I don't know if there's anything for you to address.
Oh, I thought he was referring to the 2021 breach.
No, we submitted a joint report to the director with IGWA reporting the Surface Water Coalition believes there is a breach. IGWA would not agree to the breach, and pursuant to the mitigation order, it's then up to the director to take action.
Oh.
That was filed a couple weeks ago. Two or three weeks ago.
So I misunderstood. I'm sorry, Ken. Garrick was correct. You were referring to 2022. Well, I don't anticipate issuing a curtailment order for the 2022 breach prior to this hearing and issuance of an order.
Mr. Director, this is Candace again on behalf of McCain. In your as-applied order, you have until in there it says junior groundwater users who have water rights junior to 1953 must submit compliance, if you will, or a way to mitigate by May 5th. And then it says that, or the director will issue a curtailment order. Does that May 5th date still stand, or will that date be after the hearing for those that may need to file mitigation, or do we still have to comply with the May 5th date?
No, the May 5th date is still an effective date. The as-applied order did not set a date for issuance of the curtailment order, and I'm just clarifying that I won't issue the curtailment order until after the hearing, and as you clarified, a decision is issued. But those folks who do not have a mitigation plan had better hurry up, because I think our processes may prevent them, honestly, required processes in the conjunctive management rules, from putting together a mitigation plan. And given what the department has to do under the rules in publishing and then allowing opportunity for protest, I don't know whether a mitigation plan can be put together, but I don't want to start pushing dates back. Okay, others? Travis?
Mr. Director, just a quick comment on that 22 breach and process. So just to be clear, I think we have pursued all avenues with the steering committee as far as an impasse between IGWA and the Surface Water Coalition. So recognize any order or any date curtailment would happen after this scheduled hearing. But I just want to make clear that I think we've exhausted that process. IGWA has indicated that they are going to appeal that decision, so that could go to district court, and whether there's a stay or not, I guess it's up to them if they seek it. But I think from our perspective, we've run the second addendum process through, and that letter identified that.
But you're talking about the 2022.
Correct, 2022.
At least the assertion there's a breach.
Yes.
And not the 2021 related, because
right.
It's in front of me, but I still have to review the information and make a determination of whether there was a breach or not.
And yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Other matters? All right. Let's conclude the formal pre-hearing conference.